Hello and welcome to the January edition of Clutch Football. It's a special mid-season review this month. We'll be looking back at all of our pre-season picks and seeing how they've aged. It's fair to say some are better than others, but have a listen and judge for yourselves. I'm James Martin and I'm joined by Fabio Duarte. Are you looking forward to this one or dreading it a little bit, Fabio?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to these. I don't think they've gone too badly.
Fair enough. I love the positivity. I'm a little more hit and miss, but let's just go straight into them. We're going to run through the current table and compare each team to our predictions. That means kicking off with current leaders Liverpool. Where did you have them, Fabio?
I put Liverpool in second. I said that I don't expect Liverpool to drop off much in terms of points. I think it's fair to say I was wrong there. But in terms of second, I'm still happy with a prediction. I think it could pan out that way.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I predicted them top. They are top. Like you say, this isn't necessarily how I envisage the title defence panning out with everyone dropping so many more points. But ultimately, I do stand by my view that it will come down to a straight shootout between Liverpool and City. Side note, I was just thinking this. All of these drop points, would you say this season is an outlier, or are we looking at more of a return to the norm after two seasons of these kind of ridiculous consistency from the eventual title winners?
It's hard to say, especially in a season with so many fixtures in a short space of time. I'd expect Liverpool to maybe pick up some more points next season when the fixtures are more back to normal. So maybe a regression to the mean, but I'd suggest that this has regressed more because of the fixture congestion and the injuries that come with it.
Yeah, I mean, much as it's boring to say it's both, I think that's the correct answer, really. I think we're probably entering slightly more of an era of dominance for the bigger teams on the whole. And in that respect, you'd have to say this season is an outlier. But equally, I don't think, or at least I certainly hope not, that we're not going to be looking at 99 points for the winners every season. So yeah, bit of both. Moving on, current second place in the table somehow is Manchester United. Potentially there was a case of my bias clouding this pick pre-season. I had them fifth. I actually said the sentence, their penalty numbers aren't sustainable. How wrong I was. The thing is, they still aren't looking that great. They just keep on winning. It's like peak annoying United from when I was growing up, sort of, you know, around 2008-09. I mean, I'm half expecting Makeda to pop up in games any day now. But yeah, they're second. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I also tipped them to come fifth. And I also said that the penalties were unsustainable. So shows how much we know. I said that their run of form would come to an abrupt end, which it did at the start of the season with two wins from six. But Solskjaer's on another one of his long unbeaten runs. I also said he'd get sacked at some point this season. He looked like he was on the edge after they went out of the Champions League group. But United are flying at the moment, even if their performances don't suggest as much.
Yeah, fair enough. And to be honest, it's early days still, but they could drop off to around that kind of position. It's all quite tightly packed up there. So we'll see come the end of the season whether that was really a bad pick from us. Third place in the table currently, Leicester. Another case of one maybe I was potentially a bit harsh on. They look to be really pushing for those top four spots on a regular basis now. And once again, I perhaps predicted Vardy's decline a little bit too early. He just keeps on going. I put them eighth, which when the dust settles might not be miles off, to be fair. But for now, they're third and they do look reasonable value for it.
Yeah, again, this is another one I agreed with you on. I also had them in eighth. I said Vardy to score 10 plus, but that's looking too cautious. I thought he would drop off more. I thought the Europa League would have a bigger effect on them. They could finish eighth by the end of the season, but right now I'd say that higher than eighth looks probable.
Yep. Fourth place, last Champions League spot, currently occupied by Spurs. How did you see them getting on at the start of the season?
Well, I tipped them to come sixth. I said an improved season, but in the same breath, I also said that I can't see them finishing higher than sixth. Sixth still seems about right to me. They could well break into the top four. We mentioned them in the title race in our last podcast. Well, I did anyway. And I tipped them at 10-1 to win the FA Cup, which I still like the look of right now.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't actually started the Premier League teams entering the FA Cup yet, so we don't have anything to prove that or otherwise. But they're doing decently in the Carabao Cup, so the overall logic of potentially them doing well in the domestic trophies looks sensible. I went in a bit on Mourinho in our pre-season preview, it has to be said. And to be honest, I don't necessarily feel like he's proved me wrong. The football he has Spurs playing does feel like a bit of a relic and not really what wins you titles in 2021. But credit's where it's due. He has them in and around those top places, which is an improvement on where I predicted them in seventh. Just to briefly pick up on what you said about our last podcast, it is crazy how quickly things have changed. You were telling me that Spurs and Chelsea were in the title race. I was holding off on that, and it looks like perhaps that was the wise thing to do based on developments in the last month or so.
Maybe we should have been talking about Manchester United.
Yeah, maybe we should. It's such a crazy season. It's kind of a tough task predicting anything right now. Speaking of which, we have Manchester City currently in fifth place, although admittedly with some games in hand. Listening back to our preview, my biggest takeaway is relief that Messi didn't end up signing. You can sort of hear the fear in my voice discussing those rumours. They'll probably roll around again now his contract is running down, but he's seemingly eyeing up the USA. I found that amusing where he said he's always dreamed of playing in America. It's like, have you? Have you really? But anyway, so I had City second, and they'll go to within a point of top if they win their games in hand. Comprehensively outclassed Chelsea the other day, and they are just really starting to look worryingly good. I'd be shocked if they didn't finish in the top two. So yeah, I think this was a fairly solid prediction from me.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go too far wrong with City or Liverpool. I had them first. I said I expected a big improvement. I think it's fair to say they've improved on last season. A little underwhelming at times. Some games they've struggled to break down oppositions. But particularly against Chelsea, they look like the City of old. And I'd be surprised if they didn't get into the top two.
Yep. Like you say, it's not the most impressive of predictions to get broadly correct. They were always going to be in and around those places. But yeah, nonetheless, looking pretty strong in that respect. Sixth place, currently Everton. I'll let you go first on this one.
I had Everton in ninth. I'm quite happy with this prediction at this stage. I said I was fairly confident they'd get a top 10 finish. I'm more confident now. I tipped 8 to 11 top 10. It's not the best odds, but it's looking quite secure. And yeah, even though Everton are higher than ninth right now, it's very tight on points. There are a lot of good teams around them. I think ninth is a fair prediction.
Yep, you've done pretty well there. In hindsight, I was too harsh on Everton. But to be fair, listening back, it's possibly not as bad as I'd remembered it being in my head. The bottom half finish tip doesn't look quite as outrageous as it would have done a few weeks ago. And I did only tip them 11th. It's not like I tipped them to be battling relegation or anything. But I mean, they're currently 6 points clear of 11th, and you'd probably back them to see out kind of top eight, top nine finish now. So yeah, a bit harsh, but equally, it's not like Ancelotti's come in and transformed them into Champions League contenders. So I was right to temper some of the expectations, but probably poured a little bit too much cold water on them. Seventh place, we currently have Aston Villa. A lot of these predictions, it's hard to judge how we got on because the table is so tight, but this one definitely seems off now. I had them 16th. They're currently 10 points clear of that and up in 7th with games in hand on those around them. You did mention that they were too reliant on Grealish, which to be fair is still true. He's just turned into a cross of sort of Pete Coutinho and Hazard, which I don't really think we can be blamed for not predicting. But yeah, his performances have really pushed them onto new levels this season.
Yeah, I couldn't have got this one more wrong, to be honest. I said Aston Villa 19th. Luckily, the way I worded it saves me some face. I said with their current squad right now, I think they'll go down. And I mentioned too reliant on Grealish and that they needed signings to change that. They are still reliant on Grealish. Their signings have really transformed them into a top half side. We recorded the podcast before they'd signed Martinez, Cash, Barkley, Traore, Watkins. So they're definitely the most improved side, and there's just no chance of her going down.
Yeah, like you say, the signings did turn that one on its head a little bit, although equally, Grealish is still very much the main man. I think the most transformative of those signings is probably Martinez, who has confounded my expectations, certainly, and really pushed them on to another level. So fair play to the Villa recruitment team in that respect. They've pretty much got that spot on. Next season will be interesting because I still think it's probably a bottom half squad on the whole. And if they don't hold on to Grealish, we could be talking about them being in real trouble again. But yeah, we were a bit off on those predictions, you in particular. Speaking of which, we currently have Chelsea in eighth place. I'll give you the floor to kick us off with this one.
I predicted Chelsea to come third, and I'm not that upset with this prediction. I said I don't expect Chelsea to challenge for the title. I know I changed my mind last podcast, but at the start of the season, I didn't think it would come off. Not yet. I said I wasn't 100% convinced about their defence. If anything, the bigger issue is the attack, not the defence. Yeah, my tips weren't great. 8-13 top four and 8-13 top London club. The odds are far too short on that one. But I still think Chelsea could get top four come the end of the season. The points are quite tight and still only 17 games gone.
Yeah, I mean, third isn't looking great when they're in eighth, but I'm gutted I bottled this prediction in some ways, because if you listen back to the podcast, I was pretty negative about Chelsea's chances in my reasoning. And in fact, outside the podcast, I made a bet with you, Fabio, that they would finish 10 or more points off top, which I'm looking pretty good in. But in the end, I did reluctantly tip them third place as well. I suppose the good thing there is I did caution against your tip of top four, which I said at the time wasn't value. So I think that's looking quite sensible in hindsight, especially with them currently sort of floundering where they are. But yeah, as you say, the recurring caveat being the league is so tightly packed and you couldn't write them off for a top four finish just yet. So yeah, I don't think it's disastrous. It's not as bad as it looks when you look at third and eighth being so far apart. But yeah, they have definitely underperformed. What are you thinking about the rumours that Lampard might not have much time left?
It's not surprising given Chelsea's willingness to sack managers in recent years. Personally, I'd want to stick with him. You wouldn't hire someone like Lampard only to get rid of him as soon as things don't go well. So he needs more time, I think.
Yeah, you were saying that to me the other day. I think it's a really good point. I think if you're going to commit to a managerial appointment like Frank Lampard, surely you have to give him a bit more time to sort of learn on the job and not just get rid of him as soon as things take a downturn, because it was inevitable they were going to take a downturn at some point. So yeah, I think it would be very... Well, I was going to say I think it would be very harsh. In terms of the results, it wouldn't necessarily be, but once, like you say, once he's been put in that position, I think you've got to stick it out a little bit longer. Next up, we've got Southampton, who we find in ninth. A rare prediction for me that's currently bang on. I put them in ninth at the start of the season. As I suggested, Adams is picking up some of the slack from Ings, who is also still scoring well when he's fit. The start was a little bit rusty, but they're really getting going now and could easily finish even higher than ninth. So yeah, the top 10 tip at 13-8 looks pretty good now.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about this one. I tipped Southampton in 10th. I mentioned how Adams could kick on, and he has. And my thoughts haven't really changed this season. I think Southampton top 10 still looks good.
Moving on to West Ham, who currently occupy 10th place in the table. I'm pretty close on position here. I put West Ham 13th. But I will hold my hands up and say I was probably a bit harsh on David Moyes. He's not suddenly become an exciting manager, but I mean, we saw back in the day at Everton that when he's at a team which is a really good fit, he can do well, and he has West Ham picking up some tidy results. So yeah, a little way off, but not too bad.
Yeah, I had West Ham in 15th. Most of my preview was about how I thought Moyes wasn't good enough. Maybe I was a little bit harsh on Moyes. We both talked up the quality of the squad and how they should be challenging for higher positions. And he's got them playing well. I mentioned Souček was a good signing in January. He's really kicked on. And yeah, I sort of regret my prediction of 15th. I think West Ham will do a bit better than that.
Yeah, you also had Moyes first to go, which didn't age particularly well either.
No, sadly, West Ham had a tough run of fixtures at the start of the season. I thought, if they don't do very well there, he'll be gone. West Ham did remarkably well, even though Moyes wasn't there for a few of them. And yeah, they've only pushed on since then.
Yeah, the initial upturn actually came when Moyes wasn't in the ground, which is quite amusing, but he's more than proved his worth since then. Yep, moving on to 11th, where perhaps surprisingly we find Arsenal. I had them 6th, which is probably too high, but it is all still really tightly packed. Despite the shocking start, they're currently only 6 points off at time of recording, so it could easily happen. I did also mention that Arsenal to finish outside the top 6 at over evens could be decent value. So yeah, I don't think I was miles off with how I saw their season panning out, although obviously I didn't think they'd start quite so disastrously.
Yeah, I think this one would look a lot worse if we'd recorded the podcast 3 matches ago. I ruled out UCL, but I also said I can't see them finishing lower than last season. I'd like to retract that statement. I had them in 7th. 7th is still entirely plausible, but there's every chance for Arsenal finish lower than that. And I'd still say top 6 is out of their reach.
Well, we'll see. I don't think it is out of their reach purely because no one is particularly impressive this season. So, I mean, it really depends on who gets their act together headed into this second part of the campaign. But yeah, it looks an outside shot still. So, fair enough. 12th place, we have Leeds United. Where did you put them originally?
I put Leeds in 12th. So, obviously, I'm very happy with that one. I wrote off Bamford. But who didn't? You correctly warned me about Rodrigo's output, but in his defence, he hasn't been playing up front. But yeah, Leeds in 12th. They're 12th now, so can't be too disappointed with that one.
Yeah, I think we covered Leeds together really quite nicely because you have the position currently spot on. I put them slightly too low, probably, in 15th. But I did say I thought they'd be safe from relegation while not hugely troubling the top 10, so that doesn't look too far off. And as you mentioned, I also held off on the Rodrigo hype and suggested Bamford could potentially keep his place, so that's aged quite well. Moving on to 13th, where we have Wolves. I'll start, but we're both sort of a bit shamefaced here because, shockingly, we both put them 4th. It has not aged well. I got a bit carried away with the idea that they would have a nicer schedule because of no Europe, but of course everyone's faced a hectic schedule anyway this season, and the Jimenez injury hasn't done me any favours either, although to be honest they weren't looking great before that either, so yeah, not my best tip by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the fixture congestion. We were both thinking about it because in previous years it had a big effect on these sorts of teams. But just for crazy season and how everyone's playing all the time. So that's just cancelled that out. I said 4th as well, and I said at the time I wasn't proud of it. I'm even less proud of it now. You mentioned Jimenez. Yeah, they didn't look brilliant whilst he was fit, but saying that, their results weren't awful. They'd lost 3 out of 10, and since he's been injured, they've won 1 in 7. So maybe we can blame Jimenez a little bit. Maybe not blame him, but...
Yeah, definitely not blame him, yeah. But I take your point. I mentioned it as well. So, yeah, that possibly makes us look slightly less bad, but it's still not great.
Yeah, I'm clutching.
Yeah, very much so. So we'll swiftly move on to 14th place, where we find Crystal Palace. I tipped them for relegation, which was looking really quite harsh for a while, but they're definitely in danger of getting sucked in. They did beat Sheffield United at the weekend, which has made things look a bit more respectable for them. But who doesn't beat Sheffield United? So that's nothing to write home about. And really, there's been nothing to change my perspective that 5-2 represented value for the drop.
Yeah, I also tipped Crystal Palace to finish in the bottom 3 and had them 18th. The prediction did look very bad to begin with, but they've settled down to what I expected. I don't think 18th looks too bad. There's still a chance they go down. I said if Zaha has a year like last year, that they would go down. He hasn't. And that should probably be enough to keep them mid-table.
Yeah, I think lower mid-table is still likely. If they do avoid the drop, I don't think they're going to be putting any pressure on that top 10. But yeah, they've probably slightly overperformed what we were expecting. Like you say, fueled by a better Zaha season. 15th place, we have Newcastle United. Where did you put them in your preview?
I had Newcastle on 16th, so quite happy with this. I mentioned the lack of goals. This was before the Wilson signing, but I think it still applies. Newcastle in particular have looked like a side scared to attack. They're heavily reliant on Wilson to score from almost nothing. And I think without him, they'd be in real trouble.
Yeah, I agree with all that. So I did put Newcastle 19th, but I don't think this was wildly off. So for one thing, like you mentioned, it was before Callum Wilson signed. So that changed my opinion a little bit. And sure enough, he's by far and away their top scorer. And I did also point out that their set-piece strength could be enough to save them again. And if they do get to safety, that is going to be a big part of it. And in 15th, they're far from safe still. So yeah, I'm not going to completely stand by it. I think if I had to call it now, I'd say they'll probably just about survive. But I would not be at all surprised to see them get properly sucked into a relegation battle still.
Yeah, it's not a bad prediction, especially given the Wilson transfer hadn't happened yet. So I think it sounds about right.
Yep. 16th place, we have Burnley. I'm pretty pleased with this one. I said 10th last season was a case of the absolute maximum being squeezed out of a limited squad and that we could expect some regression, but ultimately probably still safety. I went for 14th when I was predicting it. They're currently 16th, but with games in hand on those around them. So I don't think this will be too far off at all.
Yeah, I think your prediction's a little bit better than mine here. I went for Burnley in 11th. I said I can't see them being involved in a relegation scrap. And the way they started, with no wins in 7, they're very much involved. But since then, they've quietly moved up the table. 2 losses in 9. I'm not too displeased with a prediction, but 11th is probably a little bit high.
Yeah, possibly a stretch too far after that start. But yeah, not going to be as far off as it looked like it might have been. And yeah, I think Burnley will probably have enough to stay up on the whole. Sadly, not so pleased with my Brighton predictions. We find them in 17th place. They have been absolute teases this season, to be honest, particularly at the start. They were putting in these great performances and just not getting the results at all. And the concerning thing now is that even the performances aren't hugely convincing a lot of the time. So 12th, which is where I had them, looks very generous in hindsight. They're very much in this relegation scrap.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I think I've gone too high as well. I said 14th. I also said no trouble with relegation, which was, obviously wrong. They have been performing well, although that has dropped off. But they're not picking up the points, and I think they're very much in the relegation battle.
Yeah, it's quite a strong squad as well. It's hard to know what exactly is going wrong. I mean, we both quite like the manager. The squad isn't too bad, but for whatever reason, it's just the results aren't coming. So, yeah, as the longer that keeps happening, the more you have to, like you say, entertain that prospect that they might go down. 18th place, we find Fulham. I had them in 17th in my prediction. They're 18th with games in hand. But I'm not going to sit here and take too much credit for the seemingly good tip because I thought Mitrovic would be the one to just about keep them up. And he's been a bit part player at best. So while I'm fairly spot on with their placement in the league, it's not really for the reasons I'd envisaged. What about you?
Yeah, again, it's much the same as you. I pretty much rested their hopes on Mitrovic. He just hasn't shown up. He's not even starting recently. I also had them in 17th.
So moving on to 19th place in the table, we find West Bromwich Albion. Where did you put them?
I had West Brom in 20th. I questioned where their goals were going to come from. And I said I couldn't see a way that they stay up. Pretty happy with all those comments. And if it weren't for Sheffield United, I'd say 20th looks pretty good.
Yeah, if it weren't for the team below them, they'd be in 20th. Insightful stuff as ever. I tipped them bottom as well. So yeah, they're 19th. Most of the concerns I flagged up have come to fruition. Evens to go down was looking good then. It's looking even better now. So yeah, I think we got that one pretty much spot on. But then, yeah, as you alluded to there, in 20th place, we find Sheffield United. I was dreading reaching this one. I put them right up in 10th after a really strong campaign last season. I was backing them to follow it up with a similar campaign, but they've just dropped off like a stone. to the point where the big question now is whether they break Derby's record low points tally of 11. I'm not entirely sure what's gone wrong, I'm not going to lie to you, but they did lack firepower to some extent last season. That's not improved, and it's a recipe for disaster when coupled with a much more leaky back line than last year, which, I mean, I'll let you talk about it, but to be fair, you did call some of these things.
Yeah, a bit of a mixed bag with what I actually said. I tipped them in 13th, so obviously that's not going to come off. I said a drop-off expected, and I cited Henderson as a massive loss. I think part of the reason of that is he conceded far fewer goals than XG suggested, whereas Ramsdale's pretty much on par. When you're so reliant on narrow results, that's going to have a big impact. Having said that, I also said I don't think they'll be anywhere near the relegation zone. So that was miles off. I think part of the reason is, as I said, Henderson, but also O'Connell's long-term injury and other injuries. So many games in a short space of time. They're reliant on a very specific system, and they had a set of players who knew how to play that. And when you bring in other personnel who may not know how to play it as well, and you're winning by very narrow margins, I think that's going to have a big effect.
Yeah, I think that's all spot on, really. Nonetheless, you wouldn't have expected all of those factors to contribute to a season quite this bad, but it's just one of those things. You get these campaigns where you just get freak anomalies where bad things are amplified to a unlikely size, and that's what's happened here. I mean, you can be bad most of the time and not have only 2 points coming up to the halfway mark, but yeah, it's just things aren't going for them and the performances aren't there either. So it's looking very bleak.
I think we can't be too disappointed with our predictions, because most people made similar ones. And in the case of Sheffield United, everything that could have gone wrong pretty much has.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at. And I mean, ironically enough, the season before last, I did predict Sheffield United 20th. So, I mean, I was right, just a season too early, potentially. But yeah. Like you say, I think on the whole, we can be fairly happy with most of those predictions. There are a couple of major outliers, but some that were spot on. And I think in terms of the overall gist of the table, we're not a million miles away by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly happier than I thought I would be, so I'll take it.
Yeah, and we'll just quickly touch on our predictions for individual awards, which we did in our pre-season preview. So that's Golden Glove, Top Assists, Young Player of the Year, Golden Boot, and Player of the Year. Golden Glove, we'll start with. It's not looking good for me. I went for Alisson. It'll take a bit of a turnaround, to put it lightly. Liverpool's defence started very slowly this season. And of course, I made the tip prior to the long-term injuries to Van Dijk and Gomez. Recently, the defence is looking a bit more stable, and clean sheets are in pretty short supply across the league. So, I mean, Alisson's currently on 4. Emiliano Martinez leads the way with 8. It's not unthinkable with half the campaign still to go, but at the moment, it's not looking like the best pick.
It could be a lot worse, given the small gap between the top and Alisson. I don't know if you remember, but last season, Manchester City weren't near the top around halfway point, and then Ederson won it in the end. I went with Ederson, who's currently joint second with 7. So obviously, I'm quite happy with that. City have improved defensively, and yeah, I think he may well win it.
Yeah, when I looked at the standings for this, I was actually quite surprised to see Ederson on 7. I just didn't feel in my head like City had been doing that well defensively, but I mean, clearly they are racking up those clean sheets, and yeah, they look more well set to carry that on into the new year than Aston Villa. So yeah, I think you're looking pretty strong with that one at the moment. Who did you have for top assists?
I went with De Bruyne, who's currently 2nd with 8. Obviously, I don't think anyone saw Harry Kane leading the way, 3 ahead of De Bruyne. So yeah, given that, I'm pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, that's not bad. It was obviously a safe pick. I went with Trent just to try and avoid duplicating that pick. It's not gone well so far. He's had injuries, and when he came back, he looked a lot less of a threat. So yeah, that's not looking good at all. When you watch Liverpool, Robertson is actually looking like by far the more dangerous of Liverpool's fullbacks in an attacking sense. So yeah, your tip looking a lot better there. Second half of the season, I'd still back Trent to come back with a fair few more assists than he managed in the first half, but I think he's probably out of the running for top assister come the end of the season, given the start he's made.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I said De Bruyne and Alexander-Arnold were clear at the start of the season, so not the worst tip in the world, but I'd have to agree there.
Yep. Moving on to Young Player of the Year, this is not quite as bad as my Sheffield United tip, but it's up there. I went with Kai Havertz, who has started horribly. This pick looks doomed. Not helped by his case of COVID, of course, and arguably not helped by poor man management from Frank Lampard. But if he is to come good, it'll likely be longer term rather than an explosive first season. I thought we'd hit the ground running. I got a bit carried away with the Bundesliga highlights reels. It's not panned out for him at all so far.
Yeah, I'd say that pick is pretty doomed. Even if he started playing in his preferred role and playing well for the rest of the season, it might come a bit too late to be considered for the award. I went with Pulisic. Injuries have stopped him getting a consistent run of the team. Chelsea off form now, so I don't think he's really in the running either. Off the top of my head, I'd probably say maybe Saka is a good shout.
Yeah, it's one of those seasons where there aren't necessarily any massively standout contenders, but yeah, Saka's a decent one to mention. Arsenal are bringing in a lot of young players through at the moment, so if their resurgence continues, they'll probably have a few contenders up there. I've been very impressed with Smith Rowe in recent weeks, for example. Reece James, I imagine, is still eligible, and he's looked good when he's played. Again, injury troubles, but he could be up there as well.
Yeah, those names are definitely better than ones we put forward, especially Reece James compared to the Chelsea lot.
Yeah. So we'll move on to Golden Boot. Yeah, to be honest, his individual picks have not been particularly impressive for me. I went with Raheem Sterling. He's only managed 4 goals this season so far, which is a very underwhelming return. To be fair, I would have mentioned Mohamed Salah, but didn't think it was the best value. And unlike you, I only made one pick, so that's my excuse. But yeah, you fared slightly better than me there, haven't you?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I can't take too much credit when I've picked 3 players. I also mentioned Sterling, who certainly got 4 so far. I mentioned Werner, who's only got 4 and has been playing as a left winger. And lastly, I did mention Salah, who's leading the way with 13, but low odds. And the fact I mentioned 3 probably doesn't make it that good.
Yeah, especially when you look at those other two with a combined total of 8 goals. Yeah, perhaps I was giving you a bit too much credit there. Who did you have for player of the year?
I went for De Bruyne. I'm fairly happy with this pick. Perhaps it's not as clear a winner as last season, but he's certainly in with a chance. I'd say maybe at this stage, Bruno Fernandes or Jack Grealish are probably leading the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you also have to throw Kane and Son into that mix.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair given how much of an influence they've had at Tottenham.
Yeah, I think it's something like 79% of goals has been from those two or something crazy like that. I think Spurs' next top scorer has 3 goals and it's Ndombele. So, I mean, that says it all. But yeah, it's probably between those 4 players we've mentioned at the moment, with De Bruyne, of course, not far away. I went for Trent Alexander-Arnold, which again, like the assists, isn't looking hugely likely right now. But if Liverpool can stay top and Trent has a really strong second half of the season, you probably couldn't write it off entirely just yet. But yeah, it's at the halfway stage. That's the only time we can assess it right now, and it's not looking promising. If I was to pick any contender from Liverpool, it would be Robertson or Salah. So yeah, fairly underwhelming season for Alexander-Arnold so far. But he's a world-class talent still, and I think it's going to be a blip as much as anything. And even saying that, if you look at his tackle percentage success rate this season, it's the highest in the league. So given that people say as a fullback he's probably weaker defensively, I mean, he's kind of proving people wrong in that respect, at least this season, even though his output has dropped quite significantly. So yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not turning on Trent in any way, but player of the year not looking likely.
Yeah, that one looks like it's probably out of the question. And even though De Bruyne is not a bad pick, I'd say the 4 that you mentioned are ahead and probably have a better chance of winning it come the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick now, I think Grealish would get it.
Yeah, I think Grealish is a good shout, because I think Manchester United will drop off and Aston Villa are going to outperform what everyone expected. So I like Grealish too.
Okay, so yeah, individual picks, nowhere near as good as our league table. There are a couple of decent shouts in there. Edison for the Golden Glove from you is probably the pick of the bunch. But yeah, I mean, it's a lesson in how hard it is to make these picks before the season starts. But it was good fun, and I've enjoyed revisiting it with you. That's about it from us. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.